Shall, to clarify, the packing of a circus. The circus freaks gathered in chronological order around the circumference of the big tent, where they had performed shows daily for the past 2 weeks. Then, like one clan unified in their chore, they clamped onto the large pins holding the tent in place and pulled them out. After they had clambered about in a very civilized manner, until they had packed up the large tent, wiped off the wood chips and chopped down the remaining poles to be used as firewood, the wood that they had claimed 2 weeks ago was now theirs to circulate amongst themselves to help heat the small cabins where they all lived and fight the chill that came every night. Their efficiency at taking down the tent was cited respectfully in the civilian newspaper the following day. This paper had a large circulation, and the circus freaks were thankful. Other towns were sure to know they were in the area because of it. They had hoped the article in the paper would also clarify which towns they would be visiting next. But it was a chronic problem that they could not always get the full press that they desired. They were nevertheless civil and accepted whatever promotion they could get. It was the circumstances of civilization that had made them what they were. But they were not going to turn their backs and cause problems. They were just glad to have a home, a clan that was like a big family, and jobs where they could be themselves and make a living.
Clarity to Coat. After the exam. Oh, that was awesome. There was a moment of clarity when the cloud of confusion cleared, and I could classify every part of the body in front of me. I thought I would have no clue about some parts, but your coaching was great, and I'm sure my classifications were correct and I passed the test, said Mary as she clutched the coat she had just been given from the cloakroom. I was so clumsy a week ago in the clinic, but today everything just clicked. And I know it's totally cliche to say this, but my eyes have really been opened because of you. No problem, replied Jack proudly. You just had a classic case of pre-test worry. Working with clay dummies always helped me, and I thought it might help you. I'm glad also that you climaxed with your preparation right before the test. In the future, just remember that your clients will be real, not made of clay. Hey, said Mary as she grabbed Jack's arm. I also imagined hearing classical music in my head like you recommended. That really put me at peace. That's great. If you pass, you will now have clearance to work in real clinical situations. Just cling to the knowledge you have gained and you'll be fine. Mary smiled and, looking into Jack's eyes, said, thanks again so much. You really helped me. Hey, do you want to get a bite to eat? I'd love to, Jack replied, as Mary slipped her arm in his, and they walked happily out of the hospital's side entrance.
course, to colossal. A victory for co-education. Well, I hate to say it, but that was a colossal failure, said Mr. Wells after he had collected all of the surveys he had passed out. I thought there would be coherent arguments against co-education, as well as a clear majority to keep things the way they are already. But all of the students and colleagues in our very cognitive university setting seem to think that we should change our school code to allow a co-ed university. Some even want co-ed dormitories. That won't happen over my dead body. Do you think there is any way that we can coerce them otherwise? Well, let's first collate the surveys to see what the exact numbers are, said Mr. McKenzie in response. Okay, I've collapsed the results into three categories. It's no coincidence the majority favors this course change in policy, just as you said. Well, Mr. Wells, I guess that there was really no need for us to collaborate on this issue. We have failed. We coined several good slogans. Several co-locations were brilliant. And the coherence of our arguments was sound. But we have just collided with reality. They want a co-ed university. Okay, I admit defeat, sighed Mr. Wells. Let's take this collection of surveys to the library. Oh, watch out. We just avoided a major collision with that biker. Ah, well, maybe students will remember some of our coinages later in life. Yes, but they'll probably remember and laugh. We're in for a lot of change, Mr. Wells, a lot of change.
Column to comparable, the commercial life. Well, folks, commerce for the day has commenced. And I'm sure we are in for a great day of commodity trading. Other commuters are lined in columns along the highway, at the railway station and on bus. It is a wonder that the comedy of this life escapes us. But it would take a comet striking the earth to shake us from our comic and absurd ways. As the commentator continued his running commentary about the day's events, Beth and Lisa simply frowned. I hate that guy, said Beth. He's always so smug as he commits thoughts into our heads, whether we like them or not. I've even heard that he gets a bigger commission whenever people complain. It's like there is this committee out there trying to remind us about the combustibility of our commercial lifestyle. I know it's not natural, living in steel buildings, wearing the same suits, driving the same cars day after day. But there's no comparable alternative. I don't want to go back to living in some cave. You can commemorate me at my grave if anyone ever forces me to do that. Yeah, but his commitment and telling the truth are honourable. And I like his command of the English language. He speaks so well. I mean, think of it. He's right. Everything we do is about surviving in the economic structure that has been forced on us. I bet if we combined all the money traded here in one day, we could cure cancer and do away with poverty, responded Lisa. Lisa, I never knew you, said Beth with a frown, as she sat down in her cubicle that was identical to that of every other person in the office.
Comparison to complicated. Goodbye, Mike. The situation is really not that complicated, Mike. The company simply has a compendium of charges that have been compiled against you, and they just don't want you to work here anymore. There's nothing I can do to help you. Oh, come on, Mr. Moon. We're old compatriots of this company. We've always shared compartments. And I thought we had such compatible characteristics. I'm as competent as you are, with often more compelling excuses for our bosses as to why we missed the completion of project deadlines. You need me. Actually not, Mike. Ever since they promoted me, they have been compelling me to get rid of you. And please don't make any comparison to your lying ways and my honest mistakes. Okay, okay, you are an honest man. But hey, who will get you complimentary tickets to see the Bulls if I'm gone? Mike, for now, let's compartmentalize our friendship from work, okay? They have great compensation for you. And if you are in compliance with leaving, they will write a glowing recommendation for you about your competence so that you can go and get a job with the competition. They've taken all of the complexity out of it for you. Really? So how will they compensate me? Hey, you're right. That's not a complex deal at all. I can take a long vacation. Okay, I'll take it. But no more free tickets for you, buddy. You're the competition now. Some kind of friend you turned out to be.
Complication to conceive. A complicated composition. This piece is filled with more complication than I could ever have conceived of composing, said the composer to the newspaper journalist. You see, the song is comprised of a variety of separate elements that are concealed within the song. I concede that they may be hard to detect in the beginning, but like a concave bowl, with everything gathered together in the middle, that you can only understand when you come out. You understand in the end, as they are compounded in such a manner, so that they complement each other in a beautiful and compulsory finale. Yes, I've heard your explanation before, Maestro, responded the journalist in a kind manner. And we honor your reputation greatly. But others just cannot comprehend this piece of music that you have written. They say that you have compressed a mix of components from other well-known songs. For them, it is not conceivable that there is any order, form or pattern. They say that you have compromised the art form and that there should be some compulsion for you to comply with demands for your withdrawal for this song from the public arena. There may be some compression present, I agree, defended the composer. But it is beyond my comprehension why I should remove this piece of art from the public's ear. Well, maestro, it's the public that is having the problem with your song. No one likes it. No one understands it. So no one wants to listen to it.
Concentrate to confer. Too curious. Before the conclusion of the concert, Marianne slipped to the concession stand for an ice cream cone. When she was there, she overheard two men conferring together about their lack of confidence in arresting someone at the end of the performance. Marianne concentrated more to see if she could understand their words. It was none of her concern, of course, but this type of conduct was typical for Marianne. The name of the person that was conferred upon was too much for her to bear, however. And she had to confess to herself that this was something she really shouldn't know. As she walked back to her chair, she was condemning herself already for being so curious. Condemnation never worked with Marianne, unfortunately. And she suddenly had the conception to warn the individual. She could not condone his arrest. He was too nice of a friend and a good neighbor. She stood again and, planning to speak condolences for the death of the son this man had recently lost, she stepped across the concrete stairway that separated her from the man who would soon be arrested. This walkway was not conducive to Marianne's shoes, however, and she tripped and fell. She tried to grab a hand to stop her, but she only succeeded in pulling a cup of coffee with too much condensed milk across her new dress, and then she passed out. When Marianne awoke, she had no concept of where she was. Eventually she rose to see that everyone was gone, and only one kind gentleman was left to help her. She frowned when she realized that her effort to help that man had failed. He had been arrested for sure.
Confident to conversation. Fail confrontation. Barry had never been the person they chose for confrontation of the enemies of conversation. But when he had two consecutive successful meetings with confident businessmen, it was the consensus of his organization that he confront the large oil company president scheduled to come to town the next week. The configuration for his plan was to first ask to have a confidential meeting with the man in a confined location. If this did not work, he would ask the man to consent to meeting in a public forum where he'd feel safe from aggressive questioning. If the man would not conform, Barry would accept the consequences and addressed the man there when he met him. There was certain to be conflict with this option, but Barry would talk to the man in as conscientious of a fashion as possible. He simply needed to be confronted. When the time came for Barry to approach the president of the oil company, however, several of the businessman's bodyguards connected the signals and saw that Barry might be a problem. They confirmed with each other in their headphones and moved the businessman to a congruent location. Barry never had a chance. Afterwards, Barry knew that no congratulations would be given to him in conjunction with this failed event. As he fell out of consciousness and into sleep that evening in his bed, however, Barry was relieved that nothing bad had happened. He had been brave and consequent to the conversation movement, and there would always be a next time.